It's got to be more than just looking for sermon material. Mm-hmm. It's got to be a diet on God's Word. I don't just spend time in here looking for something to preach.
Yeah, yeah.
This is my life. This is what nourishes me.
Today, join Jeremy Pearsons and guest Jerry Savelle as they reveal the importance of putting God's Word first and creating good study habits that lead to more and more of His wisdom. Next, on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to The Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Jeremy Pearsons, and it has been my thrill and honor, as always, to get to be a part of these broadcasts with you. And I so appreciate my grandparents, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, for, number one, being faithful to the call of God on their lives these 42 years now, and there is no sign of quitting with them. So I'm just thankful to get to be a part of these broadcasts with you. Anytime they call and ask me to do this, I'm ready and willing. So thank you for allowing us to come into your home and be with you where you are, if it's at your home or your office, or maybe you're in the waiting room right now and you've got something you're watching this on. Whatever it is you've done to get a hold of these broadcasts, way to go. We're glad you're a part of this. And we have been joined by Dr. Jerry Savelle. Sir, this has been a rich time. Thank you so much for what you've brought to me course of my life, but of course to this viewing audience as well. And we've been talking about your book, Called to Battle, Destined to Win, Experiencing, now listen to each one of these words, experiencing God's breakthrough in your life.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a power-packed statement right there. What does it mean to experience? It means I saw it. I witnessed it. It happened in me and for me. And that's been the message of Jerry Savelle Ministries. That's the message of Heritage of Faith, Christian Church, and everything that you guys preach and minister. There is this attitude of winning behind all of it. What is it making a winner out of every member?
That's right.
That's what you guys do. It's what you've been doing for years now. And through the course of this broadcast, particularly this week, we've been going through what you call a checklist of what to do between amen and there it is.
Yeah.
And if you weren't a part of those broadcasts and you missed out on that, just go to kcm.org. We've got everything you need there. But really, that's just a small part of what this book and this message is about. Mm-hmm. There's some valuable things in there. How do you want to end our time in discussing this? Because I know we haven't exhausted the book, and we definitely haven't exhausted this book.
No, we haven't exhausted the word. That's
but in our last few moments at the end of this week, how do we wrap this up? What's on your heart to take us into today?
Well, we might summarize a few things. And the number one thing I'd like to start with on this last program is to get desperate for a change in your life. Don't just allow Satan nor your circumstances nor other people to convince you that you have to remain as you are, that there's no hope, that you can't change, you can't be this champion we're talking about, you can't be the winner that we're talking about. Yes, you can. You can be everything that God says you can be. But it's going to take a determination on your part that you won't change in your life. You know, when I think of that, I am remembering the story of Esau and Jacob just before their father is about to die, and it's time for him to confer the blessing on the firstborn, which is Esau. But as the story goes, you remember Jacob deceived Isaac into conferring that blessing upon him. And when Esau returned, and this story is found in Genesis chapter 27. And it says, when Esau returned in verse 38, he said unto his father, "Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, "Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and the dew of the heaven from above." Now listen to this in verse 40. "And by thy sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. Now, what does that have to do with wanting a life change? Well, Isaac is telling Esau right here that you're going to become a servant to your brother because of what has taken place here.
Yeah.
But there will come a time when you will have dominion and you will break this yoke from off your neck. Now, to get the full impact of this, the Amplified Bible says it this way, but the time shall come when you will grow restive and break loose. The New International Version uses the word restless.
Yeah.
When you will become restless, you will grow restless. And the moment that that happens in your life, when you grow restless, then you're going to take action and you're going to break this yoke from off your neck. Now, if this had been written by a Texan, it would have said, when you get fed up, then you're going to break that yoke from off your neck. That's what happens here with us in Texas. We get fed up, you know. When we get fed up, you better get out of the way, you know. And this is what Isaac is telling Esau. Now, as long as you're willing to live like this, and as long as you have become satisfied in your own mind that, you know, this is your lot in life, this is the way you have to live, then you're going to live that way. As long as you're going to believe what everybody else is saying about your life, then that's the way your life's going to be. As long as you think that it can't be any better, it can't change, none of these things they're talking about could ever happen to me, then that's exactly what you're going to get. But if you are tired of being in bondage, you're fed up with being broke, and you're growing restless about your life being as it is, if you have reached that point in your life, then God says that something will happen, that you will enter into a place of dominion and you will break this yoke from off your neck. I like to illustrate it this way. You know, I've used this as an illustration in preaching from this. You know, you can have this 17-year-old high school boy who is the starting linebacker on the varsity team in high school. He weighs 260 pounds. He's 6'5", 17 years old, thinks he's the baddest thing on the planet. You know, it looks like he's been chiseled out of stone, and everybody is shouting his name, you know, at the stadium where the football games are going on. And he can be, you know, All-American and getting all these invitations from every college in the country to come play football for them. And he gets home one day, and his little 4'8" mama weighs 110 pounds. And she told him before he left for school that day, you better clean this room up, big boy, or you are in trouble. And when he gets home and his room hadn't been cleaned up, when mama gets fed up, when mama grows restless, I don't care if he is 6'5", 260 pounds, and future All-American. When mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy.
Sure.
And when mama says, I told you, boy, I'm going to bring you down to your knees if you don't clean this room up. There is a dominion that comes on mama. There is an anointing that comes on mama. And suddenly 6'5", 265-pound linebacker, future All-American is trembling because mama is fed up, you know?
Yeah.
Well, that's exactly the same thing that has to happen in our lives. That's what happened to me. I got fed up. That's what happened to Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. They got fed up. They grew restless. They grew restive. In other words, they got tired of life being as it was. And particularly when they found out from men like Kenneth Hagin and Oral Roberts that, hey, life can be better. You don't have to live this way. You don't have to be sick the rest of your life. You don't have to go, you know, be in debt the rest of your life. You don't have to be broke the rest of your life. You don't have to be in fear the rest of your life. All of a sudden, that sounded so good. And when they compared it to the way they were living, they made a decision. I'm not living this way anymore. Now, that's the first thing that has to happen. You know, we can talk about all these other steps and we can talk about, you know, your destiny is to win. But nothing's going to change until the person gets to the place in their life where they are fed up, they have grown restive, they no longer are willing to live like this. Yeah. Now, you say, that's the starting point? Yes, it is. Nothing happens out here, Jeremy, until it first happens in here. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So there's got to be a heart change. There's got to be something take place in this person's heart before anything can change out here. Now, that's what happened to me. That's what happened to the Copelands. And even though, you know, we didn't get out of debt that night just because we got fed up with being in debt, and we didn't go from being broke to prosperous in one night just because we got fed up with being broke, and we didn't start enjoying divine health, you know, that night just because we got fed up with being sick, but something happened one day on the inside. And once it happened on the inside, then it's just a matter of time, and it's going to start happening on the outside. You know, Carol and I was deep in debt in my business when I went into the ministry. I mean, I would have loved to have gone into the ministry being debt-free, you know, but I had a lot of business debts. We had a lot of personal debts. You know, here I am going into the ministry and really don't even have a clue where to start, but decided I'm not just going to sit here and wait till somebody invites me to preach. I'm going to get up and go tell somebody about what I'm learning. And as I did, that would open doors. And eventually your grandfather calls me and says, you know, there's a guy in Oklahoma City. I'd like for you to come. I told him about you. Can you go to Oklahoma City? And can I go to Oklahoma City? Man, I can go anywhere. I didn't even have to look at my itinerary. There was none, you know. And I go to Oklahoma City, and I get involved in that youth meeting there, and just revival breaks out, you know. And that opened the door to another meeting, and that opened the door to another meeting, you know. And the next thing I know, you know, I'm moving to Fort Worth to go to work with your grandfather, and we're traveling and preaching and all. And still, Carol and I are believing God. I mean, when we moved to Fort Worth, we didn't have anything. Just a bunch of junk. My car was shot. Had over 100,000 miles on it, and you had to believe God for the thing to even start and to keep running, you know. But yet, we had Kenneth and Gloria Copeland standing there in front of us, who had 2 years of experience more than we had, and they had 2 years of results more than we had, and we're doing everything we see them doing, and they're giving us the basis for it from the Word of God, and we're waiting for these things to take place. And even though they weren't all happening out here, they had happened in here. And you know, if somebody, I'd said this many times, if somebody had walked up to me when I was sitting in that old dog of a car that just was barely holding together, if somebody had come up and knocked on my window and said, "You poor thing," I would have turned around to try to find out who they were talking to. Because even though they were looking at me in my condition and thinking I was a poor thing, in my heart, I wasn't that poor thing anymore. I was a man who was leaving Egypt and was on his way to the promised land, and it was just a matter of time, and things were going to change on the outside because they'd already changed on the inside. And you know, it did not take another 10 years. It didn't take another 5 years. And even though it didn't happen overnight, but things started happening. Things started happening. And you know, the exciting part is once you have a victory, the taste of victory is sweet. Man, you win one time, and you want to win again. And then you want to win again. You ever notice if you're watching the Super Bowl or some major sporting event when it's all over with, they never take the cameras into the losing locker room. They always go in there where the winners are. Why? Because the taste of victory is sweet. You know, wouldn't you hate to be that guy on Wide World of Sports that they've shown for, what, 30 years now? The agony of defeat. You know, I don't want to be that guy, the agony of defeat. I want to be, I want where the camera is in the locker room where the guys that are shouting and jumping up and down because the taste of victory is sweet. And that's the way it is in the walk of faith. When you stand on God's word And you know that you know by the authority of God's word, and you have the experiences of some others who have run this race before you, saying to you, come on, keep at it. Mm-hmm. It'll work. We're living proof that it'll work. And you finally win that first battle, then praise God, it begins what I call adventures in faith.
Yeah.
And then it's just going from faith to faith, from glory to glory, from victory to victory. And then all of a sudden, victory becomes the way you live. Mm-hmm. It's your lifestyle. You don't think of failing anymore. Even though the situation in front of you certainly can look as though, you know, you're not going to make it this time. But deep down on the inside, because you've seen God's word work time and time and time again, deep down on the inside, you know it's just a matter of time.
Absolutely.
So I stress to you today, I hope that those of you that are watching this broadcast, if you're thinking, do I have to live this way the rest of my life? Am I always going to be poor? Am I always going to be sick? Am I always going to be in bondage? It doesn't have to be that way. But you're going to have to act on what I read to you here in Genesis chapter 37, or Genesis 27, where you have to get to the place where you grow restless and you are fed up with Satan controlling your life. Mm-hmm. And the moment that you say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whose I am and whom I serve, by the authority of God's word, Satan, you do not have the right to keep me in bondage. You do not have the right to keep me broke and keep me sick. And you do not have the right to control my life. And I am taking my stand and acting on my God-given authority. You're going to find that this dominion that is mentioned right here, and this anointing that is mentioned right here, is going to come on you. Mm-hmm. And something's going to happen on the inside. Mm-hmm. And once it does, I'm telling you, it's just a matter of time, and it's going to start happening on the outside over and over and over again.
Yes, it is. And
when
you discover that you're fed up or you're restless or you're ready, that becomes a familiar feeling too, because the whole plan and the work of the Holy Ghost is to take you from one level to another.
Yeah.
And that's part of your list that you talked to us about is continually craving more of God, because the Lord will do a great work in your life and pull you out and pull you through. And then you stay there for a little while and you look around and you think, you know what? This isn't it. This isn't everything. I haven't, quote unquote, arrived. And that's what the Apostle Paul said too. Not that I have apprehended or attained, but one thing. Mm-hmm. I forget the things that are behind me and I press on.
Yes.
And so that, just in the same way that we're talking about the taste of victory being sweet, the taste of victory becoming familiar to you, or the presence of the Lord becoming something that you familiarize yourself with. Familiarize yourself with this awareness and this knowing that I'm not all the way there yet, and there's growing that has to take place.
That's right.
How do we, in these last few moments, how do we keep that momentum rolling and going in our lives so we don't come to the place each time where we feel like we're discouraged or head down about something? But how do we look out in the future and see those things coming and then be there to meet them head on so we keep that momentum going?
Well, that is done through a proper perspective about how important God's word is on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. God told Joshua to meditate the word by day and by night.
Yeah.
In other words, just going to a convention is not enough. Just listening to a tape occasionally is not enough. Just reading a faith-building book every once in a while is not enough. When the importance of daily input of God's word becomes a revelation to you, then that's when you come to the realization that this is no longer an experiment. This is no longer something I'm going to try. This is not a fad nor a movement. This is my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you get to the place where you cannot imagine you spending an entire day without some input of God's word in your life, then that's when I say you have arrived, and I use that word loosely, you have arrived at the place where Satan can no longer defeat you.
Mm.
Because now you realize that without God's word, I'm not going to make it. Without God's word, I don't have any hope. But meditating the word day and night, spending quality time in the word day and night. If it was important for Joshua, it is important for you and me. Mm-hmm. And the way that I stay focused and the way that I stay up, the way I stay encouraged, the way that I overcome the temptation to give up is I got to have this word every day.
Yeah.
And for preachers, it's got to be more than this is something that preachers are guilty of. It's got to be more than just looking for sermon material.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be a diet on God's word. Yeah. I don't just spend time in here looking for something to preach.
Yeah.
This is my life. This is what nourishes me. I'm nourished by the words of faith.
Yeah.
I'm built up by the words of faith.
Yeah.
And when a person gets to the place in their life where they realize, I cannot make it without God's word, then I'm telling you, you are on your way to a victorious lifestyle.
Yeah, but I can make it because I have His word.
That's right.
Amen. Man, these have been some good broadcasts. I hope you're getting into these, and I hope they're affecting you as much as they're affecting us here. We're out of time on this broadcast today, but don't go anywhere. Brother Jerry and I will be back in just a moment.
For the past 7 years, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland have brought the message of love and faith to the people of the Branson, Missouri area.
This is the only place, if you had to spend a vacation, a week, a few days, or whatever, this is the only place to be.
God doesn't perform because you're in need. God doesn't perform because you're in lack. God doesn't perform because there's a famine. God performs His word. God performs the oath that He has spoken, and we have it in the blood of Jesus. He's never changed, and He will still perform the oath which He swore to Abraham.
The power of God is here. The anointing of God is here. I watched on TV, and I've been praying for this moment, for this time, for months and months and months, and God has answered my prayer and allowed me to be here, and I'm grateful.
It's the heartthrob of God. God's heartbeat is here, I'm just thankful to be a part of it.
There's no experience like it. Believers coming together, worshiping God, engaging in the Word, and hearing from God.
For the Lord is good, and His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. So whatever we find in the Word of God, we know it's still good. It's enduring, and we know that the Lord is good. He is always for us. He is always desiring to bless us.
You are a symbol of the blessing. You are a representation of the blessing. And it doesn't matter what you are walking through and what you are going through, you can walk through the midst of a famine being the representation and a symbol of the blessing.
If you do what He does and think what He thinks and say what He says, ta-da! There's going to come the time, if they've seen you, they've seen Jesus.
Gloria Copeland has conducted healing school for over 30 years at all the KCM Victory Campaigns and Believers Conventions. People come expecting a miracle.
It's not your will for us to live long and sick. It's your will for us to live long and strong, free, healed, whole.
Just coming in here and getting a fresh new look at what God wants to do for His people in these last days, it's breathtaking.
Join us at one of our events in 2009. Prepare to hear from God, activate the Eden blessing, and engage in the Word like never before.
We are so grateful and thankful to Brother Keith and Phyllis Moore for opening their church in Branson, Missouri to this awesome Victory Campaign. Every year we go there, the Lord does some amazing things, and I'm thankful for it because that's where I met my wife, Sarah. So I'm eternally grateful for that meeting. But listen, these victory campaigns where my grandparents go into a place and for three power-packed days, this is a time set aside for you to come and hear the Word and let your life be changed. And we talked on this broadcast today about coming to the place where you recognize change is necessary. A meeting like this or any Brother Jerry's meetings, any meeting that you can get into where the Word is being preached, go and it will change your life. Now, every Friday on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast is offering day. This is something that the Lord has instructed my grandfather to do. And in obedience to that, this is something that we continue to do. Now, in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, it says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap." And now, I'll tell you this, coming from my perspective in this family, growing up in this ministry, if there is anything that is the motivation of this ministry and this man and woman, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, it has forever been and always will be, don't seek ways to get the money in, seek ways to get the Word out.
That's right.
That is what we've been brought up on. And so when we talk about something like this on Fridays when we're doing offering, this is us continuing to get the Word to you. Whether or not you give to this ministry or any other, it doesn't change the Word of God. The Word of God says that God will not be mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. So if the Lord's leading you to be involved in this ministry or Brother Jerry's or anybody's, be a partner. Get in here and partner with us in the things that the Lord's instructing us to do, and we're going to see amazing things happen all over this world. Father, we receive the seed sown. We call it blessed in Jesus' name. Brother Jerry, thank you so much, sir, for being a part of these broadcasts. This has been awesome.
I'm sure proud of you.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. The Lord is good. Listen, go to church this weekend. Get plugged into the local church. There is nothing more powerful on this planet than the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you go and be a part of that. Make sure you join my grandmother, Gloria Copeland, next week as she begins teaching on faith and patience. And this is Jeremy Pearsons and Jerry Savelle. And like Kenneth and Gloria Copeland always say, we remind you that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. To purchase this week's broadcasts on DVD or CD, or to order a copy of today's product online, visit our website at kcm.org. There you'll find a resource of teaching materials and study tools designed to help you grow in your walk with the Lord.
Hello, I'm Gloria Copeland. Join me for 2 weeks on the Believer's Voice of Victory. I'm teaching on faith and patience, the power twins. It takes faith and patience together to receive God's blessing manifest in your life. But they're available. Your future is stored up in your heart. Believe God's word, and you can prosper and be blessed.
You won't want to miss these special broadcasts. Monday on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
And a lot of times, you know, you don't receive because you start out in faith, but then you don't have the patience to walk it through until the answer is manifest.